So
we're back. We're here on site. This is Barnea Levi-Sullivan.
And David Wilner.
And we're here with Dr. Yuval Gadot.
Okay.
Of the Institute of Archaeology in Tel Aviv University, sitting here down and dirty on the slope where I've walked over and near many hundreds of times, but never in these four cubits of the land of Israel because it wasn't accessible. And I have to say that the imagery here, I'm not an artist, my son is, but the aesthetics here are unbelievable. You have here the layers of the cement that was laid to, as a support, and then of the ground, and then of pottery going in lines with earth in between, which is what you were discussing beforehand. And then they're coming in the slopes and the angles, and you see tantalizing handles sticking out and the air spaces of bottles and the edges, what we call, definitive pieces, right? Indicative pieces. And we're here with several, quite a few feet above our heads and with many, many feet to go down to the bottom. And so if I was a freak of pottery, I probably couldn't breathe for a while because I would just think, oh boy, and let's try and put all these pieces back together where they came from in Dayton. Are you thrilled like that?
Almost. Almost. First of all, I don't think, it doesn't look like we have complete vessels here. It's crushed pottery from many parts of the city that was probably brought here intentionally. And it's mixed with, as I said, stones and animal bones and organic material. This is what we're saying, the life of the city. First of all, you asked me about photography, remember?
Yes.
This is where you see that we are not dealing with a tell, we are dealing with layers. If I move now back and forward, I'm moving in time, so to speak. You are early. Mm-hmm. I'm now at, let's say, the time that we are digging this layer. And when I move here, I'm above this layer. So we constantly have to somehow recreate the slope in order to gain control
the
of these layers.
The degree here is about, I don't know, 45 degrees, a little more than 45
exactly.
degrees.
Exactly. And what we realized when we came here, when we started doing this section, that it's impossible to dig it the way we're supposed to dig it. So what we decided, and the amount of pottery that is too much. So what we decided is that we are going to make a section. Collect everything that we can, sample everything that we can.
What is a section?
A section is a cut into the tail and the layers of the cake, so to speak. But the layers of the cake here are not flat, but tilted. After we have the section, and after we can look at it, and we understand it, we are in next week probably even, going to move back the section, dig the meter that we see now, and then have strings lied across the section and tells the excavators, now you excavate, okay, the string is tilted also, like the following the line of the layer. And I'm telling them, now you take this meter and you dig it like that.
And okay? Take the whole layer out as an integral layer. There,
exactly. And this is what is brought into the sifting and into wet sifting and then the picking and so on. This is the meter that we are in control, that I know that it's only that layer, and then the earth layer will be a separate layer, and then the next pottery layer will be the next layer, and then we can start doing statistics. I'm seeing more cooking pots, I'm seeing more eating vessels, I'm seeing more animal bones of that kind or different kinds. So at the moment everybody is looking at that, and including me, as one big trash of 50 years. Maybe through our work in, you know, where we excavate it, peel it layer by layer, we'll be able to see differences in life or whatever.
All of a sudden, Mattel came out with new toys, which
exactly,
only appeared here, yes.
Exactly. And then we'll compare it also again, like I said, to the other excavations. Did Roni Reich, Eli Shukrun, Guy Baroz, and Ram Buchnik, when they did this section, they said, from what they published, is that they don't see these stone vessels, the Jewish ritual stone vessels. We are seeing them not by the hundreds, but we're seeing them here. What are these differences reflecting? Okay, is that just a matter of how things were excavated, or this is a matter of something real that existed, the different sectors of the city?
What is the range of periods that we're talking about here, the earliest to the latest, in this section?
In this section.
Yes.
We are all in
you
one
want
time.
A periodic table?
We are all in one time. This is 50, it's not the end yet, but this is 50 years of the Roman times. That's it. From zero as kind of a schematic point till the destruction of the city in 74. AD. That's
now, we're only in one section, but is there any way to analyze from the amount of pottery how many people were living here?
Not that I know, but it's going to be very difficult. First of all, we have two sections. We have another section there that is much deeper, and we're still in the same layers.
Is there a ratio of pottery usage per person that you would be able to say that in this layer, which is from the year 43 Common Era, how many people would have wasted those pots? We may not be able to do the whole city, but you could extrapolate, but you could say for this slope. I'm asking the question again, but tighter.
I don't think it was ever done.
A cooking pot serves six people usually at a meal.
So, no, our database, data line, the peg that we will compare everything is not so much ethnography, cooking pot serves, but the excavations that were conducted in the Jewish quarter and the burnt house. The burnt house is a house that existed exactly at that time. And because it was destroyed, everything stayed over there. So there you can see a house has, I don't know, for a matter
it's
of speaking.
Vesuvius.
Exactly.
Those were the wealthy people.
Okay, but then we'll see what are the differences. Okay, if over there a house, typical house, has 20 cooking pots, or let's say 20% of the vessels are cooking pots, and we see here that only 5% of the vessels are cooking pots.
They had meat less often,
Exactly, something like that. There was Goni Reich, Rambuchnik also, they somehow tied this the amount of pottery that we see here to the fact that Jerusalem served as a place of pilgrim three times a year. Thousands of Jews are coming into the city from Judah and Galilee, in the Galilee. This is a day like the Mimuna for, I don't know, 3 weeks, three times a year. The amount of garbage, okay, maybe this is what we're seeing here.
I have a friend, Benny Rosen, who lives over a nachal just outside of Jerusalem. And it's where everybody goes to picnic during Passover and during Sukkot. So I saw him just now after Passover. He said, our local garbage people have been working for 2 days straight without rest, just picking up the garbage of the people left. We haven't had our own garbage picked up yet because we are snowed under. So that's a typical thing to happen, a 250,000 people to 500,000 people in Meiron. So here you had many, many more. Fascinating. Jody Magnus has suggestions in terms of the size of the openings of pots, when they're using meat, when they're not using meat, and how it reflects on diet. Very interesting.
I had the lecture, we'll dwell into it. You ask me about when is this dig over. This is the time that we'll dwell into this information.
Well, especially here, we hope it'll be a smashing success.
Okay.
Anything else you'd like to tell us about here?
No, sir.
Okay, how much gets dug up in an average day? Tell me in terms of buckets, tell me in terms of cubic meters.
It depends on the...
How many days work do we have ahead of us?
No, gum also. But no, it depends on the nature of the work. When we are excavating a section, like we're doing it over there, now they are on break. They excavate 40 buckets at the most, and they put it on the sieve. Everything is sifted. This is the meter that we are in tight control of.
Ah.
And here, where we are, we say, okay, we have to move to understand the layers. We have to, I have to work fast to get the section to work slow. Okay, so here, they are moving tons of earth every day. So the pace of work changes with the aims and what.
Excellent. When did you actually start? When did you break ground here?
I think it was 2 months ago, somewhere in the mid February or something like that. No, the beginning of March.
The beginning of March.
Yeah.
Okay, so literally 2 months in. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay, next stop. Here we go.
Two features that I brought you here to see. First, the dry tunnel. Dating to 1600 or 700. It's called today dry. It wasn't dry at the time that it was used. It brought water from the spring towards here, maybe to water the fields, maybe to get to a pool. This is not really known. It continues under our leg. This will reappear more or less where we stood before. Okay? It's supposed to come out of the rock.
That's one of the things you're looking for, is to see where this tunnel is going to appear over there.
Exactly, and to be able maybe to give it a better precise date to understand it's where exactly it's going. And then on the other side, and we are standing actually on top of it, so it's very hard to see. is the tower. The city wall. And this city wall, that's the city wall that Roni Reich and Eli Shukun found, which they claim dates to the 8th century, the same time as Shiloh's wall above, and not really known before their excavations. We are already down in the Kidron. Why would somebody build a wall so low? It doesn't really defend the city if you're so low.
It doesn't? For an attack from the valley? I don't need
attack,
it here.
Attack from the valley, maybe, but whoever stands up there is really above you. Okay, so it's not.
And arrows can reach from across the valley. Exactly. It's a short distance.
It's not the perfect place to position a wall. If you're thinking of a wall, you're thinking something halfway through the slope or something like that. This would be more logic. On the other hand, if the line of the wall is here, it might include the water spring. Okay, which is also down there. Okay, so it puts the water spring inside the city, maybe. There are, the fact that it was found really changes the entire understanding of the lower slopes of the city. So next time you come, I hope you'll see the top of the wall also.
You're going to follow this line.
I don't know exactly where it's going. I'm going to follow the topography.
I'm probing.
In a way, the sections that I'm
making... Oh, because you're cutting all the way through anyway.
Exactly. If the wall exists, it should surface...
We can't know, because obviously maybe there was destroyed and here it happens to still be standing.
And another option is that it curves into the Kidron, eastward, and then it will be out of the scope of where I'm excavating, or it maybe curves up. There are many options. But I hope, because I'm having a section that is 10-meter... cross section into the tail. I hope that will fall on the line of the wall.
Okay.
These stones here are modern.
These stones are modern. Yeah.
These stones are modern. I just want to understand better. I need to protect my city. So if my city only starts higher up on the hill, so I have the natural the mountain itself is my defense. I don't have to add onto it. If I have a wall, it would indicate that right behind me here, something is.
Somebody is in use. Yeah, exactly.
And this has not been dug yet.
This not enough. As you can see, the wall, the rock is here. Not a lot is known about this part. No. Very narrow trench.
Okay, so for our listeners, when you come to the City of David and you come to the opening of the spring, you have two choices. You can either walk through the wet tunnel or you can walk through the dry tunnel, which is called the Canaanite Tunnel. Now, even if you're planning to walk through the dry tunnel, you can enter the wet tunnel. You can stand on the platform, stand right above the spring, and you're in a room that you can take pictures in. I always encourage people to take pictures there. After the end of the room, then there's a place to step down into the cold water and begins the wet tunnel. But you can visit and go into that dark tunnel and take pictures again, and then come back out and walk through the dry Canaanite tunnel. When you walk through the dry Canaanite tunnel, which is about a 4-minute walk, you will come to a turnstile where you come out of the water channel, and then you will see over here, covered with material which years and years ago was meant to protect it, but which is all shredded now, you will see this very, very thick stone wall, and then you'll be looking down to a valley and see a modern wall across the way and the street across the way. How thick is this wall?
I think it's about 3 meters thick.
3 meters thick, almost 15 feet thick. That's even more... That's a Gesunter wall, it's also a Gesunter height.
It's impossible to see from where we're standing, but there is an offset. It goes like that, but then there's an offset up there. If we were able to stand there, you'll be able to see that it makes like a line and then comes out and then a line going that way.
Following the topography?
I don't know. Either for security or the topography.
Okay, more questions to be answered. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we'll continue on.